Congregation, in the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22, and especially the first five verses, we see two pictures merging. It is the picture, in the first place, of the city of God. And at the same time, worked into that, the picture of paradise. So let us read those five verses, and you see for yourself what refers to the city and what refers to the to paradise. But it's merged. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yield their fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, nor need a light of the sun, for the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So far, the city of God. The theme for this morning is our sermon, the city of God. Six short thoughts. In the first place, the water in that city. In the second place, the throne in that city. In the third place, the tree in that city. In the fourth place, the servants of God. Fifthly, the face of God. And in the sixth place, the light of God. The city of God is the theme. So we will first speak about the water of the city that comes from under the threshold, from under that throne. Secondly, the throne in that city and who is sitting on it. In the third place, the tree of the city. How many trees and what are the trees for? The servants of the city. What does that mean? They're serving him day and night. And the face of God shining upon them. That's the heart of it, I would think. And the light of God. Congregation, the last chapter in the Bible is about the new kingdom. About the new Jerusalem coming down from God. It is the final state. It is eternity. It is the day of the resurrection of all people and salvation of the whole world, of all the elect. And then there will be no gospel preached anymore. That's the final thing, the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come, the city of God, the city called the New Jerusalem that comes down from heaven. The earth is burning, and the Lord is creating new heavens and a new earth. Now John would like to tell us something about that city. And that's so hard. Because we have no frame of reference. There are no words for what's in store for God's church. There's no vocabulary for about that, no dictionary for that. So, what a challenge for him to find words that we can understand, to picture something that is so heavenly and so different and so beyond our comprehension. How can you even find the words? So words fall short. This is also for him unfamiliar territory. So we must say that the picture we see, the pictures we see are not really adequate. They are just only lifting up a tip of the veil. You know, I hope to say something about that New Jerusalem, but I can only stammer. I can't find the real words either. And yet the Holy Spirit has inspired John to say something about the future so that people are prepared what they will miss or what they will get, what they should look after. It's important to be future-oriented and to know what's up, right? So let me first give you the picture to show you what he sees. And then go back and look at those 6 points. So I see a city, right? A city with walls and gates and houses and streets and a foundation. I see a city. Already in the previous chapter 21, we see that city of God. All those golden streets and the beauty of it. And there's no temple in there. And there's always light. And they don't need the sun. It's a glorious city. But it's not a village. It's not a rural area. There are lots of people in the city. It's a city after all, right? And in the city, people interact. And people, that you need infrastructure. And you need to be able to live with lots of people in a city. Just keep it in mind, it's a city. It's huge. It's populated. And people are together. And in that city, let me say, in the middle of that city is a square. It's a forum. It's a theater or something. And usually an open place, a park, in the middle of the town. And I see in the middle of that town, in the middle of that park, I see a throne. There was kind of normal that sometimes the king would sit on the throne in the city and people would see him and flock around him and would ask advice from him. But we see a throne in the middle of the city, in that park, in that paradise. You know, we read about that film before. It's a great and wide throne. It points to the victory and the sovereignty and the power, the authority of God. But you know, look at it, at that throne. Something under that throne, see that? Something comes out of that throne. It's water. From that throne of God, water comes out underneath of it, and it creates a river of pure water. It's so sparkling, it's spotless, it's pure. There's no debris and no logs and no leaves and no nothing. It's so transparent. It's not like the Fraser River. It's more like the feather. You can see the bottom. And there's absolutely no pollution at all. And it keeps coming. The water keeps coming. Where is it going? It's taking the main street in town. The water takes the main street. You know the main street? That is the street lined with shops and people buying and selling. And but now on this street, in this avenue, in the middle of that avenue is the water of life river. So, not murky, but clear. And look at that. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God, in the midst of the street of it, and either side, the river was there, the tree of life. So I also see a tree, or some say trees. You know, the expositors have different feelings on that. Some say it's only one tree. And that one tree, it points to Christ, they say, one tree. And others say, no, the word tree means actually trees. Because they're on either side of the river, as we see in verse 2, right? So how can one tree be on either side of the river? So you have kind of a hole in there or something? Anyhow, trees of a tree, it is does not make much difference, but the tree grows there. It's the tree of life, in a sense. And that tree is bearing fruit. Or those trees are. And in 1 month, this tree gives the ripe fruits. And the other month, this tree. And so over the entire year, 12 months, 12 different types of fruits. So people don't get bored. They say, it's always mango. It's always melon. It's always an orange. It's always this. Every month is something else. And the people kind of enjoy that. And they can pick it free. And yield their fruit every month. Every month again. There's enough. And that's a blessing. So, every tree is different, and every tree gives different fruit. So there's always a sufficient supply of water, and there's always enough to eat. And there shall be no more curse. There's always the sense of God's favor. As we talked about, a constant with the people, a constant sense of the favor of God. God caring, God comforting, God being there, and nothing against, God has nothing against anyone anymore. They're all forgiven. They're all His people. There shall be no more curse. And there's no room for people in that city that are cursed forever. But the throne of God, of the Lamb, shall be in it. Second time, the throne is mentioned. What a wonder. No curse. The throne of God. And His servant shall serve Him. So all the people in that city are His servants, and they serve Him. They serve Him. The word serve here is not like servant, but like worship service. Worship service. So it's service in worship service is not being a servant and a slave, but worshiping. So that's what is meant here. And His servants is serving Him. The worshippers are worshipping Him. Because all the people in that city are so elated and so happy with that God on the throne. And with that Lamb on the throne. It's a wide throne. With God and the Lamb in one throne. Not the throne of God and the throne of the Lamb. No, no, no. One throne. And they shall see His face. That God on the throne is looking at His people. And they are looking back and they are making eye contact. and they see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. His name in their forehead, meaning your mind. And there shall be no night there. It's never dark. It's always bright. Not too warm. Not too cold. Not too bright. Not too dark. It's perfect. And they need no candle, need the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. See, that's the picture. So now we go somewhat deeper and go back from point to point. He showed me a pure river of water. Water. Water that is really the water. Important water. You know what Jeremiah writes about that? Jeremiah writes about that in the second chapter, that we have left the fountain of living water. And that we have been hewing out ourselves cisterns that don't keep water. But leaving the living water, the fountain, walking away from the fountain of water. That's what we did. And maybe that's what you're still doing. We walk away from the water. We don't need that water. We can do it without water. We quench our thirst with other things, with the things of this life and this world. That's good enough. We don't need the water. We ignore the water. We despise that water of life. That's how deep we fell. But there is a water, a river of water, meaning plenty of water. Or we read also in Ezekiel 47 about such a river that comes under the threshold of the temple and goes eastward, goes into the Dead Sea, and the Dead Sea becomes alive. And in the Dead Sea is now fish. Because of that living water gives life and makes alive. And so in the heavenly city, in the New Jerusalem, there is abundance of life, eternal life, for people that deserve death. And also look at the previous chapters. I read in chapter 21, verse 6, in the second part, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. So that's in that city. In that city they may drink freely of the water of life. And by the way, that's also happening in church and in daily life. That the Lord also is still feeding and preaching the gospel of life, of living water, for people that are so dead and so without God. So living water. We saw something of water this morning in baptism. That in a sense also speaks of the water of life. You know, we need to be forgiven in order to receive that favor of God and that comfortable sense of his favor. And that water is presented, is offered unto us. And the Lord is asking anyone thirsty. So the Lord is asking everyone this morning, are you thirsty? And there is a people that say sometimes, oh, yes, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord also quenches that thirst. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God. So where does that living water come from? From our houses? From our souls? Do we have to present some living water to God and say, Lord, I have some water for you. I present something that I have got myself. No, that water only comes from the throne of God. It comes our way. It is given from heaven. That heavenly Jerusalem comes down from God. It's the gift of God. It's not something we build, not something we make. It's something given, and it comes from God's throne. So I think of creation that comes from the throne of God. He created heaven and earth. And I see something of recreation. And I see the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in here, that the Lord is providing living water, that the Lord is providing that from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Because the Lamb is here, not the Lamb slain and the Lamb bleeding and the Lamb dying and the Lamb being buried. But this is the Lamb that was resurrected. He's alive. He is at the throne of God. He has ascended. So the Lord Jesus is in the same throne as his Father. On the right hand of the Father, in the same throne of the Father. Because he paid the price. Because he gained victory. And that living water comes flowing and keeps flowing out of the throne of God and the Lamb. So now you see where you should seek it. From where it comes. It comes from God's side, never from our side. So, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side the river was the tree of life. Remember the tree? The tree of life in Genesis and the tree of life in the last chapter. The Bible begins with paradise and ends with paradise. Because the Lord will have a paradise. Anyhow, for his church, the Lord insists on that. I will have a paradise. I will have a people in the day of my power. And we know of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We were not supposed to eat from. We yet did it as mankind. We just disobeyed God. And we were banned from paradise. And we were banned from the tree of life. Because there were two special trees, right, in paradise. The tree we were not supposed to eat of. And the tree that would give eternal life. So Adam and Eve were banned from paradise. And the gates were guarded by cherubims. But now there is a new tree of life. And whether you see all those trees lined up on both sides of the river, or you see one tree, one thing I know, there is only one tree in a spiritual sense. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the vine. I am the tree. I am the living water. He is the only one. You cannot choose between different ones. There's only one Jesus. One name given among men, right? The tree of life. And I'm not sure if I go too far now. If I make this, if this link is too far-fetched, but I yet like to mention it. The word tree in the Bible is the same word as the word wood. So, that's the same word as used in Galatians 3, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So is there kind of a reference to the cross? Maybe. But yes or no, whether that's meant to yes or no, we know that the life comes from there. The life comes from him who had the curse on him hanging on a tree. So seek your salvation in him who was hanging on the tree. And that may become the tree for you. And that you may eat the fruits thereof. And that you may eat the fruits the whole year long. And eternity long. And keep eating. And always being satisfied with the living water. And all those fruits. And the sense of God's favor. What else do you need? And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Of the nations? Yes. Do you think only Jewish people will be in the New Jerusalem? No. From all over the world. From all nations, tribes, languages. From all over the world. The Lord will have a people and they will inhabit the New Jerusalem from all over the world, from all nations. And the leaves of the tree, or the leaves of the trees, whatever is meant. But leaves, you say leaves? You don't eat leaves, do you? What do you do with the leaves? Do you make a bandage with leaves, like they do in Iranjaya on mission field? No, then they hurt themselves and they have a finger or a toe hurting and bleeding. They know how to use the leaves. And they actually know what leaves to use. And they make something around it with leaves. They don't need band-aids. Is that what meant? What's meant? Or is it that when they eat them, it's kind of herbs? Anyway, it says, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing, for the therapio. Therapio, the Hebrew word, therapy. For the therapy of the nations. Because people have wounds. People have wounds in this life. All types of wounds and pain and suffering and problems and sometimes too much, and that goes their whole life. The whole life they suffer from that. The whole life they can't get used to it. The whole life they feel that pain because of what has happened or what the situation is. And in the New Jerusalem, the Lord is wiping away all the tears from their eyes. And he gives healing. You don't need a therapist anymore. You don't need counseling anymore. You don't need medication anymore. You don't need operations any longer. You don't need anything. It's all healed up. Like sometimes a wound is healed and there's hardly a scar left. You know, so the Lord gives complete healing for body and soul. That's not on earth. It's not so the Lord says, I will give you all the healing. The Lord does not promise his people even that. The Lord promises his people that he will help them and that they will receive the taste of his favor. But they also will suffer. But at that time, they will be for the healing of the nations. Healing. And there shall be no more curse, But the throne of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. No more curse. The curse is the opposite of the comfortable sense of his favor, right? The opposite. So the curse, curse means God's friendly face. No more curse. There's no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation, no frown, but that smile of the living God, that friendliness of him. You know, that gives so much healing. That is such an only comfort in life and death. So are you suffering somehow? Do you need healing? You know, there is healing in the physician, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and his wounds are healing for his people. And his stripes are a blessing for the church. And his death is life to the soul. And his thirst is that my thirst is quenched. And may you see that with Psalm 73, he shall lead me through his counsel, and afterward receive me in glory. We may see that future to the church, and if you have good grounds to believe, that it's also for you. Suffer on. Suffer a little longer. It will be not forever. It will stop. It will absolutely stop. If you might be saved, there will be no suffering anymore. Be the healing. You have completely healed. No memories. It's all past. No flashbacks. It's all over. The healing of the nations. No more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. As I said, in the middle. So the Lord communicating, being present, having unity with the church. So it's all around him, all about him. And his servants shall serve him, shall worship him, shall be focused on him. And they shall see his face. They shall see his face. I found it so remarkable when you hold the baby and you look at that baby looks not at your hand, but looks automatically at your face. That's innate. Something in babies, that they make eye contact. And you, when you smile, they smile back. And that's so remarkable that they are so focused on your face. That's nature. That's creation. That's beautiful. And that's very important, because when people talk to each other and they don't look at each other's faces and they just talk the other way, something is missing. You have to look each other in the face. And so the Lord, when he saves his people, he does not have them in heaven to ignore them and to look the other way. He looks them all in the face. He smiles upon all of them. And they shall see his face. Now, that is a wonder, because I read in the Bible, for example, about Moses, that he could not see his face. It was impossible, because he would die, as you read in Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 33, also in Exodus 33. It was impossible. Or John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So the Lord Jesus is the face of God. The Lord Jesus is the face of God. Because nobody, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten, the Son, in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Absalom was also concerned that Solomon would not, or that David would not see his face. Let me see the king's face. Or Psalm 17, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. You know, see God's face. Anyone interested? Anyone hoping, longing to see God's face in righteousness, to see him as he is? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know, there are no words for that. But let it be. To see him as he is, not through a glass darkly, but face to face. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 John 3:2. We shall see him as he is. So satisfying. So quenching the thirst, so healing, it will be everything. It will be more than I can explain. There are no words of reference. No, there's no frame of reference for that. To see God. Not through a mirror, not dimly, but forever. They shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. So the Lord's stamp on it, the Lord's name in their forehead, meaning you're mine. I own you. I bought you. You're always my people. That they'll be not the same as the first paradise. In the first paradise, people were able to sin. They had the free will to sin. If they would, if they wanted. But this is different. This is the final paradise. And there is no sin possible anymore. And there is that wonderment and that amazing grace. They shall see his face, his name in their foreheads, and some state, I'm not so sure, I'll leave it up to you. It's a biblical truth, but I don't know how to connect this. Some say this also means that they resemble him. So his face, his name in the forehead, so something stamped in them of him. So he sees himself. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, need the light of the sun, for the Lord God give them light. No light. Light is important. Isaiah 60, the sun shall be no more the light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory, and the sun shall no more go down. neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. There's so many texts in the Bible about light. The real light. The shining light. The Lord is lifting up his countenance and in light. His friendly face again. But congregation, would you be there? That's important. Because I read in chapter 21, verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. He that overcometh. So that means a new heart. That means fighting the good fight. Means not falling away, but overcoming. They shall inherit all things. And in verse 12 of the previous chapter, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. So God's people enter in there. And verse 24, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth will bring glory and honor into it. And verse 27, they shall in no wise enter into. In no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. See? So, a wounded? Are you a wounded wife? Are you an unappreciated husband? Are you a shy child? Are you a loner? Are you a widow? Are you a broken one? Whatever you are, this is the best service. This is salvation, to be part of that people by God's grace and to freely drink of that water of life with having to pay for that. See? It's free. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. So in heaven, on the new earth, that water will be received freely. But also in the gospel preaching, it's free. So, is God on the throne in your life? Or are you sitting on the throne yourself? When you sit on the throne, you will lose everything. But if he is on the throne, and if you may drink of that living water, you may receive everything for free. He showed me, and there shall be no night there. So never darkness, no spiritual darkness, no physical darkness. It will always be a bright day. For the Lord shall give them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So there's a throne of God, and the Lord reigneth with the Lamb. He also gave in that city to the people a task, and they may reign with him and live with him on the earth. And it's much more than I can explain. No ear has heard, no eye has seen. We cannot make any true imagination of what that will be, what the Lord has in store for his people. they shall see his face. Do you seek his face? If you don't seek his face, you won't see his face. So make that an important work, to see his face in prayer, but also in reading the Bible and going to church. Oh Lord, may I see thy face, light thy face, lift up thy face. May I see it. Then shall I appear before God. And Christ is with the Father on the throne, because he has paid the price. And he will have a people for himself, rejoicing in him, and he rejoicing in them, to the glory of the triune God. Amen.